Blog Talk Radio.
It's April 1st, it's 2013, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, and I'm not fooling, it's really me talking to you. But speaking of fooling, it is April Fool's Day, so how's your day going? Has anybody played a joke on you yet today? If so, I sure hope that it was one that had you falling to pieces laughing about it, because sometimes that stuff can really backfire on you. Yes, it can. But it's a good thing when it finds you laughing. Did you know? Here's some interesting stuff. Did you know? You probably heard this said once or twice before, that laughter is the best medicine. Well, it's really true. I believe all of that. But did you know some of the other benefits of laughing? I just love it when y'all ask me all these questions. So, anyway, one of the great benefits of laughing is that it improves your circulation. Yeah, it really does help your blood move through your system easier and faster, which is a real healthy plus. It also lowers your blood level. Your blood pressure can be made lower from laughing. And it even helps burn calories. Can you imagine that? Laughing will help burn calories. And also, it makes you feel better physically and emotionally. Well, you already knew that, I know. But check this out. It can improve your social life, and that's an easy one to figure out. People would rather be around somebody who's happy and laughing than somebody's face who looks like a prune, right? Go figure. That's an easy one. But it also strengthens your face muscles. Yes, your face will be firmer and tighter as a result of using all of those. I think it's something like, I don't know, a gazillion muscles that firm up from doing that. And then also, it produces a natural euphoria and a sense of relief. A real good dose of endorphins happens when you laugh. And the great news about that is that it can last up to 12 hours in your system. Isn't that something? So you know what I decided I would do today? Tell y'all a joke. At the risk of being labeled corny. Yeah, I love corny jokes. So at the risk of being labeled corny, I'm going to go ahead and tell you a joke today. That's a very corny joke, but it's a fun joke. It's one of my favorite jokes. But anyway, here goes. Bob Long was an employee at the ABC Vending Company for about 4 years. He worked there a long time, right? Well, he decided to retire, and he did after 40 years. Unfortunately, shortly after Bob retired, Bob died. Well, that was the bad news. The good news is he had saved a whole lot of money, had a huge 401k. So consequently, the family was looking forward to really banking off of Bob's unfortunate passing away. Well, when it came time for the reading of the will, they were all shocked and surprised. The attorney said, "I'm sorry to inform all of you, but Bob Long said that he wants all of his money buried with him." Everybody took a deep gasp. Went away sad, heads hanging down. Well, sure enough, the day of the funeral rolls around, and they see Mrs. Long taking a slow, long walk to the casket with a box. She puts the box over in the casket and returns to her seat. Well, after the funeral is over, her best friend comes up to her and says, "Betty, what was that I saw you put over in Bob's casket?" And she said, "Well, he had asked that his money be buried with him." And so the best friend took a deep breath. She said, "Oh, my God, Betty, and you did that?" And she said, "Well, sure, of course I did." She said, "This morning I transferred all of his money into my bank account, and I wrote him a check." Ha, 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 ha. Now, you guys know that's funny. Can't mess around with a bewildered widow and her money. Oh, my gosh. That's one of my favorite corny jokes. So anyway, if that didn't work for you, okay, find something that makes you laugh today. Because I think that as a result of that, I already looked younger because my muscles were firming up as I was laughing. And absolutely feel happier. How about that? Well, if you didn't get pranked today, here's something else for you to think about. And you didn't think that was funny. Think about this. Here's the real deal. Have you ever been pranked by life? You thought or believed something, perceived something, even lived in an illusion only to find out it wasn't truth. Oh, I bet that struck a chord with some people. Life can be full of situations like that, and that's what we are going to be talking about today on Foxology: dilemmas, distractions, and illusions. Don't be fooled. My radio BFF joins me again today, the multi-talented TV host, Cassandra McShepherd, and we are going to take a life coaching journey around those subjects and see if we can unveil some truth. Is perception reality? Many believe so. So we'll see. How are you, Cassandra?
I'm fine, Silver. I am cracking up. I am thrilled that laughing, which is, you know, something that I love, love, love to do, can not only make me cute, but it can make me thinner, too. I just love that. I love that. I also love old girl giving. I also love old girl writing her husband a check. For real, though.
Sometimes you just got to think on your feet, right?
You know, she honored his wish, and that check, well, what? Never make it to the bank. But, oh, well, he got his wish.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, I am excited about this conversation with you, as I am every time we have ever had an opportunity to do life coaching. And the interesting thing that people don't know is that, and I've shared this time and time again when we've talked, we have these conversations for real. We don't just prep for radio.
Very true.
We have
all the time.
Yeah, we have some of the most soul-searching and mind-provoking and extensive and challenging conversations, and it's always exciting, and that was just one of the reasons why I thought it just made sense to bring it to the ears of people who might want to listen in and see what they can do to tweak their thinking and understanding. So today, boy, I thought how appropriate, with it being April Fool's Day, and all of us who take this amazing walk through life, and all the interesting things that come up, that happen, that we hear on a daily basis, that challenge us, what we think, perceptions, reality, and even it just, you know, often comes, sits right in our lap, with things we have done and lived and believed for a long time, and all of a sudden we find out its validity has just been pulled from under us. So I'm interested in your perspective, as I always am, and what you think about that whole is perception reality thing. A lot of people will say it is. Whatever a person's perception is, that's reality. And I'm thinking that just sounds, it's cute, but it's wrong. What do you think?
You know, Silver, reality is an interesting, albeit elusive, kind of thing. There are certain things that are sure in the world, though I offer not quite as many as one would think. We operate in large part based on what we have learned thus far. One of the questions that I like to ask, especially as I sit in my window and look out at this huge thing with no leaves and branches that reach very far, called a tree. But is a tree really a tree? Or is that just what we've been told that it is? Who questions that? I think that reality is based on whatever you think it is. Because in another part of the world, or if a tree had been called something else historically, I would look at it and I would not call it a tree. It is whatever it is, but what is it? Perception creating one's reality is valid to me because whatever you think it is, if we'll stick with the tree analogy for a moment, and what you think you know about trees, they are fun for climbing. Of course, they offer wood. On warm days, they offer shade. It's how you would look at that thing and how you would treat that thing. But if that's not what someone has been told about that thing being a tree, that's not what they would see. So whatever we think is true determines how we act in accordance with whatever it is that we're thinking about. So I kind of differ with your opinion on that, on what is whether reality is created by perception.
Hmm. Well, I certainly agree with what you said as far as, you know, how we have been told and taught certain things. But I have issue with the fact that very often when we are analyzing or experiencing, even without analyzing, we come up with a dialogue of information in our heads. Sometimes we use our own truths to make determinations about the perception without having enough information about a situation, a thing, or a person. And I think that that's where we run into trouble. So I don't disagree in totality with what you explained. It's just that I think there is an other side, there's a flip side, or there's an additional component to how we need to process what we see. And we can talk about one aspect of it when we talk about people, for instance.
Absolutely.
You know, when we encounter individuals or individuals we know, sometimes individuals we don't know even, we can put so much information about in our heads about how they walked, how they talked, what kind of car they drive, where they live, what kind of job they have. You know, we will come up with our own scenarios and things like that, which I think is a completely dangerous way of thinking. We see it happen with celebrities, you know, all of
Absolutely.
The time. We have a template, I guess, is the best way I can explain it, that we think certain people fit, and we just believe and think that everybody must think like that, when we know the truth is that all of us, each and every single individual alive, has a different kind of background, history, story, everything that makes up where we are and what we're doing and where we've come from. And so that's what I mean when I say I think it's a danger zone. I mentioned this when we were chatting before. Marvin, I don't know who the originator of I heard it through the grapevine, but in that song it says, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. And the thing about what we see, we go by information that we've either learned, like you said, or information that is attached to something that's attached to something else that's attached to something else that must make that become the reality that we create. And I just think, okay, when I need information about something, yeah, I may speculate, but I don't make speculation my truth about what I'm looking at. I may analyze, but I don't make analyzing the last part of the truth either. I try as best possible to get some facts, to reach out and look a little bit deeper until I can get close enough to something I can call the truth, because I think it's an unfair assessment for me to say something other than that.
Well, sticking with reality, as I said, it is an elusive kind of thing. One of the things that I think that is critical in life, especially in trying to determine where you are, what's going on, and what is it that you are seeing or experiencing, is what you said, and that's getting facts slash education, asking questions, learning as much as you can about a thing. However, part of the human condition is to judge slash identify. It is a protection mechanism. We are constantly in our daily experiences trying to name wherever we are, whatever we're feeling. And I think it's kind of an unconscious thing that we be able to deal with or survive a situation. But one of the things that I have found to be true is that our ability to identify where we are or what we are in is always based on our own information and socialization. So two people can see a person, experience a situation, and have completely different triggers or feelings or reactions to it. And for the two people, now the thing, the person, the situation, is the exact same thing. But the two people would then identify it completely different, act upon it completely differently. But it doesn't change whatever the thing, the trigger, the impetus is for that reaction or that determination. And that's, again, why I say that it really depends upon what you think. I think that life is really based on what we think. Therefore, we need to think. We need to grow. We need to expand our information. We need to broaden our socialization. So we're not looking through a narrow scope at anyone or any situation and finding ourselves limited by what we see.
You know, what you just said, Cassandra, is based on several things that are real accurate. Somebody that's thinking healthy, somebody that's thinking positive, but you know, and like I know, that that's not always the case. And let me throw the line out again into something that, I think is a typical situation where a lot of people find themselves dealing in illusion, and that is in relationships.
Been there, done that.
Should I let you go first?
But go on.
Well, I think about when people meet, and I think that the desires are apparent both on and sometimes on both sides. I can't always speak, of course, of what men think, but I know women are often entering into a situation where they've got their heart open, they've got their antenna up, trying to make sure that they are understanding what things mean. But oftentimes when information is exchanged during initial meetings and dates and things like that, and a person, either the guy or the woman, wants more or more from the relationship or information, we'll tweak and twist whatever is being said to mean more than it than it really does mean. And for instance, let's say maybe a woman says, "Are you interested in a family?" And he says, "Well, yeah, someday." Well, the perception in her head is that he's thinking about a family with me ultimately, but that's not what he said. Do you see what I'm saying? About things like that, we will often take information, and you know, the thing is, how can you make a calculated, healthy judgment on meeting a person for a few minutes or on a first date unless he just out and out says to you, "Yes, I think you are the love of my life. I didn't think it would be this quick, and I understand. You know, in my heart, I'm just feeling like you are." If he doesn't say that,
and the mother of my babies,
right?
Yeah, no. But Silver, we go into meetings, relationships specifically, and I think that this is both genders. We go in mostly thinking about what it is that we want. We go in to get what it is that we want. And that's oftentimes a very single-minded kind of situation. You and I both know, as well as your listeners know of people's situations, if it's not them themselves, who have attempted to make it work. I'm going to make it what I want to make it because he fits this part of my requirements or he's fine or whatever. And I know that I can just make it work. Well, that is definitely an illusion. That's a straight up April Fool, in my opinion. If you're not listening to not only what he says, but how he be who he be. I always say that people will say all manner of things, but if you watch them, they will do their truth. We have, many of us learn the noise to make. But truth, whatever it is that you believe for real, is how you will conduct yourself. And so when you're attempting to make something what you want to make it, and that's fine if you've got that kind of time, but if you really want to know what something is, then you've got to understand, as you outlined the timeline, that doesn't happen overnight, especially. It doesn't even happen in a short period of time. It happens over time. And then you've got to take into consideration then that people are hopefully always growing, always expanding themselves. And so I think that if we were more, oh, and I love to use this in a positive way, selfish, concerned with self, honest about self and what it is that we desire and what's really going on and how we really feel at the different junctures within an exchange or a relationship. And if we dare to be honest, we can really save ourselves a lot of confusion.
You're absolutely right. Here's the question in all of that. Why is it so hard for us to deal with circumstances of truth? Why is it so hard for us to, using the scenario that I just shared and what you just said, if you're out on a date first time and your heart's desire is to be married and you're hoping maybe this goes somewhere and it looks like it's, you know, not, it's falling on its face, he isn't that into you, why is it so hard to say to yourself, I don't think he's that into me. I don't know if this will go to the next time. And I'm not willing to, you know, stretch and try to make this be something that it looks like it probably won't. I'm just going on my sixth sense here, and it's not going to fly. This is probably going to be our first and our last time we see each other. Why is it so hard for us to go ahead and tell ourselves something like that rather than, is it facing the pain of feeling like you're being rejected? Is it we can't face pain, so we can't face reality?
My suspicion is, again, as I said, we are, many of us, if not most of us, in life to get what we want. And it's been written that that can happen, and I'm down with all of that. But there's got to be respect with the will of someone other than your own. And so if you're honest with yourself, myself, for example, I would love to be Mrs. Somebody, but not at the risk of who I am right now. And I know that if we make ourselves at home with ourselves, then I think that we are less vulnerable, maybe not of going on the date, but less vulnerable to getting caught up in relationships that are unhealthy with people who are not necessarily trying to hurt us. They're just trying to do what they want to do. And many of us, we don't listen. We don't listen. It's real clear. One of the things that I used to ask this question, because, of course, I used to be 20-something. I used to ask the question, why didn't he call? Because he didn't want to. Bottom line.
Exactly.
He didn't want to.
Exactly.
Bad enough. Too. Yeah, maybe he had something to do, but my mother always told me, and sadly now I listen, but she's unable to talk to him anymore, but Mom always told me that people do, and I do believe this to be true, that people do what they want to do. Now, they might not do it with the quickness that you want it done, but that in life we do basically what we want to do. Now, many would argue, well, I would much rather do this kind of job, or I would much rather be this kind of person, or I would much rather do or be someplace else. And yet and still, the life that you are living, whether you are thriving or surviving, is created and sustained by your choices. So if you don't want to be doing what you're doing, do something else. It's really not rocket science. It's a different science, but it ain't rocket science. And
yeah.
So I think that we are selfish. We're not selfish. And in the way that selfish is used, we are selfish when we're only thinking of ourselves, especially as it relates to the will of someone else. Whereas if we were really selfish and honored self and grew self, then you realize that if this person is right for me, I want the situation, but I want me, my peace of mind, my sanity, my chi, better, more than I want to be involved in a situation where I know in my gut it's not right. Now, I don't say, you know, don't go on the date. Do go on the date. Have a good time. But don't lie. And listen and watch what he or she does or doesn't do. Because, and I've been fooled. I've been tricked. I can't really say tricked. I've missed cues, but not for long. I think that love looks like something. Attraction looks like something. It feels like something. If you are really into me and you plan to be something other than a secret admirer, then you're going to make a move. And I'm going to understand that. But if I'm sitting at home all by myself talking about you, dreaming about you, and keeping a relationship with you alive with my friends, and you don't know nothing about it, and haven't checked in.
You've been
since
told,
that.
Right?
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, why didn't he? Why didn't she? Because they didn't want to deal with it. Save yourself for someone that does want to call, that will do the things. And also we speak about the languages of love, the languages of relationship and communication and all of that. And we all have them. And they're not necessarily the same. Many of us speak English and be completely different and unable to communicate when it comes to languages of love and relationship and communication. I am looking for someone that speaks a language that I think, because I mean, at this age and stage, I don't mind learning a new language, but I ain't really trying to be a trilingual when it comes to my love language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand what it means. You know, you may love me, but you don't say it, you never call, and I don't even know where you live, and I'm not quite sure I got your last name. Well, that ain't the love I want. I honor myself in saying, I don't need this. Now, for me to pursue that, and I'm not getting from you what I need, for me to pursue that is a betrayal of self. And we sell ourselves out constantly to no avail.
Well,
I mean, I do know situations where women got married because the husbands couldn't outrun them. They just got tired of running. But those are not the situations that I think about. We're not happy marriages.
Well, I tell you what, you covered just about everything I wanted to with that. And that was exactly what you said at the end. Save yourselves from that and just deal with the reality and the truth of things being what they are, and then look for the something that really does give you all of the truth and the healthiness that love looks like in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about something else, perception versus reality. Something happened recently that was talk all over the world, and that was that new Bible series that came out on the History Channel. There was for a week or so this whole dialogue going around that the actor who played Satan in the series looked like President Obama. That it was, the implication was that it was designed for some reason to have this character resemble President Obama. That became quote-unquote reality enough to get big news, to get people talking, to create huge controversy regarding what the the originators of the series were thinking and plotting and all of that. I tell you, Cassandra, I took a deep breath and thought to myself, what in the world is this coming to? Do people really believe that that whole consciousness was at the genesis of creating this elaborate production to bring demise to President Obama and make people believe that there was some type of demonic existence within this whole presidency? I said to myself, and I even said it to a couple of people on Facebook, that had to be one of the most ridiculous things I had ever seen or read that people decided to buy into. And I mean, no offense toward anybody. Sometimes we absolutely have to look to media and international flow of things to learn a lot of stuff. I agree with that. But when something hits that place that it says, okay, this is ridiculous, oh, God, let that be the truth, because it really, I mean, absolutely turned out to be one of the most ridiculous things I had ever seen. And all I could ask myself is, why was it so easy for people to deal with that perception, showing the pictures side by side of him and this character? And I squinted and I tilted my head, stood on my head, I did everything I could to try to see, was there some real resemblance that was, you know, authentic enough to say, is there even a comparison enough to say, well, maybe there is a little bit of look. I did not see it. And I saw, you know, many comments that said yes, but I saw yes, it did not have a resemblance, but I saw a lot of people thinking it was just really a real thing. Why do we do that, Cassandra? Why is it so easy for us to grab hold of the perceptions and distractions and illusions flying by? We grab hold on it, and we just flying with it.
Wow. Why ask why?
We are not busy about the business.
We are not busy about the business of self. When the care and feeding of yourself is not your main agenda, then you might take any detour to keep from hearing an independent thought in your own head. That being said, I also say that it's kind of like the question of faith and the proof of faith. For those that have faith, they don't need any proof. And for those that don't, they wouldn't believe any proof. When it comes to what you believe about someone, and those beliefs, I think, are based on many things, biases in large part. I don't think that anybody who believes in President Barack Obama was swayed by that or it affected them in any way. Other than the reaction that you had and I had, which I thought that this is insanity. But why does it happen? We're doing media right now. Media is an insatiable beast. It is an insatiable beast. And by that I mean, and we've been in media for years, both you and I, that we've got to be writing, talking, saying, doing something. There are endless amounts of outlets, channels, venues, avenues that people have set themselves up to be the word on a certain situation. We got to be saying something all the time. So I don't question why things become stories, but I do question for people who take anything too seriously, see how long it lasts. Like rabid dogs, we chew it up, drag it back in front of you, chew it up, spit it out, and then we're on to something else. I personally believe that Barack Obama is a man of integrity. I know that being black in America means certain things, and being an upstanding man that a country voted for speaks volumes to who he is. There wasn't a lie that they
could make. Twice, we might add.
Hello, there wasn't a lot that they could make stick on that man, which says to me that his character really is, and not only just now, but has been above reproach. It seems to me to be a life on purpose. And again, I say, I know as an African-American in America, that is particularly challenging. So I applaud him for being a man that has made some decisions a long time ago and has obviously lived his life by them. When it comes to why we do something like that, I don't know, but there are many, many people who do not like President Barack Obama, the president or the man, for many reasons, and those reasons personally don't really matter to me because I don't look to someone else's reality to determine my own. And so for those people, it was just another piece of propaganda to fuel the fire that was already lit. We as individuals really need to question everything. Talk is a wonderful thing. Media serves necessary purposes to grow and expand you. And yet, and still, there are many stories of media, serious sources, credible sources, being pumped or tricked or running too fast to the fore with information. And then you find out that there's something else going on. And what that says to me, as not only a person in media, but a person affected by media and information, is you got to question everything. And mm-hmm. I say also, as I've said, about the care and feeding of one's own person should be the most important thing to that person. There are so many times, Silver, where on the weekend I do a wonderful talk show 5 days a week live. But can I tell you, I don't turn the TV on the weekend? A bit more know if it didn't happen in my house or in my life. A bit more know what's going on. I ain't crazy. So I get up every Monday morning early and every single day before the show, and I do hit the wire, and I do prepare myself to do my job. But I understand one thing, that so many things that are happening all around the world that are truly devastating to the people that they are happening to, that if I were to immerse myself in everybody's story, in every murder or every burglary or every bit of information that came my way, I would be seven ways from crazy, baby. And I don't need to do that. And if I did that, that would be my reality. If I consumed myself and I fed on that kind of information, when I opened my mouth, that would be what came out, not the kind of conversations that you and I have privately, the kind of conversations that enable us to grow mentally and spiritually and better the lives that we're living. You are what you eat, and that goes for information that you dine on as well as food that you put in your body. And so there has to be a time when you say, enough of that, what do I really think and feel about thus and such, or anything for that matter? We as people should be something, I think, greater than just reporters of the news that's already been reported. I'm reporting the news. Now you go talk about something else.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because there is so much information now. I mean, it's beyond weighing. There's just so much of it. And I believe people are looking for information, but they're not always looking for truth. That's very obvious. I remember this quote from long ago, and I think we were even on the air together at that time, the first time I brought it up, that just because a million people believe a thing doesn't make it real or true. And it's, of course, that's just really a fact. And we do need to assess what we hear instead of just offering a buy-in because it sounds catchy, cute, or like there it may have a little bit of an element to truth. We need to be truth seekers. It's healthier for our own consciousness. It's healthier for our own existence. It's helpful and healthy for us when we're making decisions and choices about life and people and work and everything that we do. That's the essence of it all. if we're not navigating through life using information that holds realities for us or truth for us, where does that mean you land at the end of the day or even at the end of life? You know, it's a very fascinating thing when you look at it. I know that truth is hard. It's hard to deal with sometimes. But the truth is, if you deal with yourself about things the way they are, the way they exist, and use them as a leverage, use them as a thing to help you get to a higher place of thinking or truth, that's only going to make you, as you said about care and feeding of yourself, it's just going to make you a real, wonderful, healthy-minded, conscientious person about the things that you do.
Not to mention more fun to be around.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when I think of that, the one thing I would like to say to people is be leery. Like you said, question everything in the sense that you're not in a suspicious way, like somebody's trying to fool you. Of course, there are those who are trying to fool you, lure you, persuade you a certain kind of way. And let me throw an aside. You and I, when we were on the air together, we never, ever, we made a decision from day one. We would never be the people who did that. But it is the conscientiousness of people to do and say whatever they think will drum up ratings, will get people tuning in, because it's been made to sound controversial. And when we were even encouraged to do that, we decided that we both were too smart and had too much experience that was going to be powerful and helpful to people, that we would just take our chances with what we knew.
and it worked. And we had a very successful show.
Absolutely. So that would just be what I would want people to hear out of what we just said about that. Just to exercise caution. Look for the truth. Look for the healthy truth. And if you have to make the decision to say that sounds insane, crazy, and ridiculous, just do that. And then be a part of the solution and not a part of spreading the problem. The last area I want to talk about, we talked about this briefly when we were talking about this show, and that is how so many things that we do in life decisions and directions sometimes fool us, in the sense of sometimes we do something, we end up in a place where we didn't think we would be, knowing that we made the wrong decision, and then we think we're stuck there, and all kinds of other dialogue and information that we tell ourselves there's nowhere to go from here, boy, I messed up, no door out. And those, of course, are definitely illusions. Those are things that will keep us stuck in a place way too long, thinking that opportunity has closed its door. What say you?
I am thinking of the phrase race thinking or race consciousness. And that's not just about a particular group of people, but the human race. There are so many things that, as I spoke earlier, questioning the fact of a tree, even, there are so many things that being human in this day and time, being female in this day and time, being male, being black, being white, being blonde, being a redhead, being whatever, being of another ethnic group, there are so many so much race consciousness about what lays before you in terms of options and opportunity. And yet and still, if you think hard, and hopefully not that hard, if you don't know behind your thinking, get on the internet and definitely find this. Stories of people who seem to have done the impossible. And that says to me they simply did not buy into the race consciousness about what their options and opportunities were. And instead of then falling placidly in line
in accordance with what race consciousness says is available to you because you are a man of a certain age and stage, living in a certain geographical position, female, Asian, whatever, black, white, purple, green, or yellow. If you don't buy into all of that, then you are not subject to any of that. Now, does that mean that everyone in your path will be oblivious to the race consciousness that I talk about? Absolutely not. But it does mean that for you, when you are presented with what appears to be obstacles for someone else, you don't see them as situations that can stop you. You might view them then as, oh, this was an interesting lesson. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know why that happened, but I'm going on. You and I had a conversation when we were on the radio about being on a train. I don't even remember what the impetus of this conversation was, but we were on a train, and there was a cow on the track. And for some people, cows are sacred. And so for those people, that meant that the train had stopped and they couldn't go any further because they couldn't cross the cow on the track because the cow was sacred. And I'm like, get me a chainsaw. We have a barbecue. I'm cutting up a cow. I got to go. It has
to do
what you believe is true. It has to do, and even though those belief systems are deep and historical, cellular memory even, it does not necessarily make them your truth unless you buy into it. At any point in time, at any age and stage, and it's been proven that you say, not for me. That might be true for you, but not for me. Then you can overcome the cow on the track. You can cut it up and have some meat or just keep on going. You can do whatever you need to do. If your core belief is in you and the God in you versus race consciousness of what you can and cannot do, then you are unstoppable. And if you do not have that belief, that is what I would busy myself about the business of doing. To ask yourself, what is your core belief about the world that you live in? And if really it is not that the world is a wonderful place full of opportunity, then you are April Fool. Get a new revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Change your mind until that works for you. Change your mind until your mind supports you. Your mind does not need to support the what you can't do and the what you can't have because of anything. If that's what you're thinking, you're lying. At least I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I think so, because I think everything is possible, I'm living the impossible life.
And you are absolutely right. I think that one of the hardest things for us to do is challenge things that have been authoritatively taught to us as truth, beliefs that we continue to live that absolutely don't even seem to work. We look at it and we'll still hang on to it, even though it doesn't really produce positive results, practical results. And I think that all you have to do is wake up in the morning and try to do life, and you will see the things that work. You will see the things that attract the more positive things. You will see the things that attract prosperity. You will see the kind of thinking that takes you from A to Z when you want to reach your goals. And I'll use faith as an example, because one of the primary things that I had learned about faith in my initial understanding many, many, many years ago is that faith in itself will produce the results that you want. While I had to learn the hard way that faith in itself has a characteristic of being able to operate in a place that I don't know or understand to get results, it's not always the case. I learned to know what I can do. I learned to know what God could do without me. I learned what to do with me and God doing something together. And so I say that because that was really, it embedded in me a certain kind of way that I really had to shake my paradigm, and I mean truly shake it and reshape it to see how to get the most productive result from understanding the operation of faith. And once I did, things absolutely, your reality, because your perception of what that means changes, my realities began to look a lot different.
Absolutely.
And, my goodness, it's just amazing. And so I would challenge anybody listening to this to challenge things that you've been taught to believe, not to, some of it you have to toss. I'll go ahead and say that. Some of you just got to toss it. It's got to go in the place of nowhere in your life anymore. But there are things that need reshaping, redefining, redoing, and your paradigm will absolutely play a whole different role in what the things that you think, do, and achieve after that. It's a beautiful and amazing thing that can occur. And you were going to say something, Cassandra? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I interrupted
you. It's kind of like, was it that's fine? Was it like the Burger King slogan, have it your way? I think it was one of the fast food chains. I think that life is like that. That you really can have it your way. I think about something simple like a parking space. There are people that say, I never get a parking space, and yeah, you're right. And there are people that say, I always find a parking space, and a good one, and yeah, you're right. People say, I ain't never going to be nothing. Yeah, you're right. People say, I know I was born for greatness. Yeah, you're right. So it has to do with what you're looking at, what questions that you're asking, but you've got to ask the question with your life, not just your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as you talked about, checking yourself, seeing what those core beliefs are, and on the chance, and I believe that it is, on the chance that then your perception becomes your reality / creates your reality, on the chance, I dare you to change your mind to something positive. And this is grown folks' business. This is the decision that you make at every negative turn or thought. I dare you to say, even ask the question, but is that really what it is? That's enough to start. If you're not healthy enough to say, oh, this is a lesson, it didn't kill me, so I've grown a muscle or a boil, whatever, something that's tougher that will help me get through the next situation. If you're not strong enough to say that, I challenge you to just ask the question, is it really something that's out to get me? If it didn't take you out of here, then you've got the information that you came out of it with to go forward. And personally, I think that's the point of life. But it's what you think. It's what you think. It's how you think what you think. And you can really have it your way. If you're thinking that, you know, life is the bomb, yeah. Or if you're thinking that life is a bomb, yeah. Whatever you think, the answer is yes.
It's true. You can paint a pathway to everything you want, or you can paint a locked door.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is exactly that. If that's that's where perception being reality is absolute truth. If you paint a door that says, oh, this door is locked to me, I can never do these things, this will never happen, that's the truth. But if you paint an open pathway and all you can see is pathway to opportunity, new things, positive things, productive things, prosperity, excellence, that's where you will absolutely find yourself going.
And the same set of circumstances, it's how you will deal with them. If you don't think you have a chance, eventually you'll stop trying. If you think that things are there to grow you up and toughen you and make you stronger and more evolved, then that will be your reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the concepts behind today's show is that I wanted people to do a couple of things. One of them was to evaluate information really, really closely. When I see a lot of things on Facebook, and here's a perception I want to throw out there that only a little bit to do with what we're talking about, but I look at Facebook a lot to see what's going on, what people are thinking, what they're doing. And they say, I saw one a couple of times say that if you're on Facebook and you're not posting, that means you're stalking. And I thought, oh, really? That's a perception. That's not a reality. Because I rarely ever go to anybody's page. If it comes through my feed, that's when I see it. That's when I'll like it. That's when I'll comment on it. I'm on there because I enjoy the learning aspect of it. I see some of those funny things I would never see anywhere else or come in contact with. I learn a lot about a lot of things, which for me is the short education. Learn a little bit about a lot of things very quickly. But I said all that to say, let's be careful in our approach to all of the social media and the media in itself, and to look at it for what it is and not find ourselves buying into it, because what I see being created is a lot of hype, a lot of anxiety in an extremely unhealthy way. And I think if we can just grab hold of ourselves and minimize that, we're all going to be in a better place. Look at it for what it is, and everything isn't an absolute truth just because it's there. And then the other part of it is that it can take you, once you look at that and shape your paradigm accordingly, you can find yourself on a much better pathway in life. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close up? We've got a couple minutes.
No, I would just agree. I would agree with everything that you just talked about as we get information from any place. I would also ask that people just kind of be aware of what they perpetuate, not only in their thinking but in their conversations because we really are all of us sharing this space, this thing called a world and this experience called life is a shared experience. And I, as you talked about the determination that we made when we were doing our show years ago, made a determination not to take it lightly. I think that all of us have that responsibility. Do we rise to it? That's on you. But all of us have the responsibility to see the world, to pave the kind of path that we want to walk on, because the path you pave is the one that you will walk on. So whatever you want coming back at you is what you should be putting out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, my friend. This has been just as enlightening as always. I appreciate you, again, sharing your time on Boxology. Our conversations are always as easy as they ever were. I thank you for your insight, your knowledge, your sensitivity on all of this, and what you know so far. And speaking of what you know so far, please visit www.CassandraMcShepherd.com. That information is within this show link. She has a TV series that she does, This Is What I Know So Far, and it is fabulous. You will truly enjoy every tidbit of information that she shares. She's also one of the hosts of Real Milwaukee, and you can catch it online Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And she's my friend, and boy, does that help this work out so well. My radio BFF, and we'll be doing this again. Thank you. Thank you so much, and I wish you a wonderful, beautiful, and blessed day.
I am your friend, Silver, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you and with your listeners. Happy April Fools. Don't be no April Fools, though.
Okay, sis. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank all of you for taking the time out of your day also to join me. What a great conversation. I hope you can appreciate it from where it was meant, and that's to help us all grow and be in the know. Care and feeding of ourselves with information, dilemmas, distractions, illusions can sometimes fool us. So don't be fooled. Be informed. Be smart. Be a knowledge seeker. Be wise. Look for the truth. And ultimately, you'll be pleased by the consequences. I'm sure of it. So thank you so much again for being with me today. Hope your day is an amazing one. Thank you so much for listening.